What's up, everybody? Rob Marchand, Hunting Out Loud, and we're going to be talking to Nick McWhorter of Empty Quiver.
What's up?
I screw that up every time, even when I know what I'm doing.
It's all right.
So anyways, Nick, man, it's been a while. We talked to you probably a month before season started, didn't we?
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah,
been a while, and we was talking about all the big game plan early season and what to do, and everybody's been pretty successful around here locally.
Yeah, we've had it's been crazy, man. Like, everybody's seems like that is in our little community.
Yeah.
You know, knew somebody or themselves, you know, took a good deer, you know.
So. And then another one fell yesterday evening at Kent Robinson. He took him a dandy.
Another big one. Yeah.
So good for us. But there's none left in this area, so you'll just stay out of here.
Go away.
They're all dead. Yeah. But, hey, you know, you took your biggest buck.
Yeah,
as well.
I did. And it was crazy. I got that deer on camera in, I think, about June, mm-hmm. and followed him, and he didn't look like much to start with, really. I mean, honestly, he wasn't that big or that impressive. And then in like a 2 week period, this deer his main beams just got so crazy long, and then his tines blew up. And
yeah.
I was like, oh wow, you know. And instantly, this deer's on the radar. I was mm-hmm. like, cool. So just like everybody else, you know, I keep feeding, checking cameras, moving cameras around and trying to get it narrowed down, you know, where I thought this deer was bedding at. Because I think the big key to early season is they don't move a ton like they do in November, of course. They're not chasing nothing. And the weather's hot, so it's going to keep them sort of centralized. So I knew I had to get close to the deer. I had to get close to his bedding area as possible. And I had it pretty well figured out that it was on the neighbor property, actually, of our farm. So I slipped my stand in, and I'm about probably 150 yards off the fence where I thought he was bedding at. That's where I first set up my cameras, and I was getting him pictures of him right at dark. So I move closer, 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 and I finally get narrowed down to I'm like 30 yards off the fence row. Mm-hmm. And then start getting pictures of him earlier. You know, I was getting closer to him. So I knew I was doing something right by my timeline. It was either, you know, I was getting closer to him or he was just moving a little earlier, but I didn't really think that was the case.
Yeah.
So I got in close, and open and night come. Me and Dusty hunted open in the morning, and I'm not a big morning hunter at all. I hate hunting mornings.
Yeah,
I feel
especially
like all,
early.
Yes. I feel like all I do is just bump deer, and, you know, I don't know. I'm just not big into it. I've killed one buck in my life in the morning. That's it. Everything else is after.
Well, it's tough, you know. other than the pre-rut and rut, you know, I'll get aggressive. But,
yeah.
But other than that, you know, I'm the same way. I'd rather hunt evenings.
I would, because I think you just got such a better chance of slipping in unnoticed. You know, you can get in there and cool down. So, anyway, me and Dusty, we hunt open in the morning. We didn't see a deer. And then Workman texts me, and he was looking at the moon guide, and he said something about it, like 7:15 moons over foot, or I can't remember what he said. But anyway, he was like, prime time, 7:15, be on lookout. I was like, okay. So 6:30, we see the first buck. He comes in, a small 8-point, film him, he leaves. Another little bit better buck comes in, film him, and he left. And then I start getting nervous because here comes the busters. Two big mature does. Mm-hmm. Here they come. Start walking down the ridge of the corn pile, and I was like, man, that's what you don't want to see. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's 7 o'clock. I was like, crap. So we got the perfect wind, though. We hadn't been busted all afternoon. It was good. And then here's some leaves crunching over to my right. Dusty said, I hear something behind us. I was like, yeah, me too. So I turn, I look, and there he is, 30 yards standing at the fence. I was like, oh, here we go. You know, the heart starts thumping. And I watched him. He jumped the fence and starts walking in. I was like, that's it. Here we go. Mm-hmm. You know, showtime. And I don't even know what happened to them does. Like, I was so focused on him.
Yeah.
I don't even know where they were at. I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
It was like they just evaporated. But I know they was there.
Oh,
but
yeah.
He walks in. And I waited until he got his eye behind a tree. I drew my bow back, waiting on him. He steps out. And I thought that I should have been shooting for about 24, 23. And I didn't have time to range it, you know.
Right.
So I think I should have shot for about 17 or 18. So mm-hmm. I shot him right in the spine. First deer I've ever spined in my life.
Yeah.
It's like kind of, you know, I mean, you shoot so much. And I'm a huge advocate on preaching shoot your bow.
Oh, but, yeah. Well, it's time.
You know,
happens,
yeah, man. It is. But, you know, still just it hurts, man, when you pull off a bad shot. But anyway, I spined him. He dropped. knocked another arrow, shot him in the chest, and he was still moving, knocked another arrow. Because I'm just a firm believer in you shoot him until it's over.
Put him out of his misery right there.
As quick and as fast as you can. Yeah. And that's what we owe it to him. You know?
Sure we do.
And that's the way I feel about it. And he looked like a pincushion when he got, when I got done. But what scared me first was when I spined him, he could move all 4 feet. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he was really digging. And I think if he would have flipped up and somehow got his balance, it'd have been hard to have found that deer.
Well, yeah, that high shot right there. No not blood. Not much of a blood trail at all, if any.
Because it went right through the top of a rib, completely through the backbone, and through another rib. I mean, dead center vertebrae. I mean, it was a hard spine shot, but he was kicking and stuff, and it's just, it's not something you want to see, and it's not a shot that I'm proud of by no means, but it is what it is.
It is what it is. It happens, and you took care of business.
Do the best you can.
Yeah, instead of sitting there just watching.
Right. And that's the truth. I feel like, it was the same with that pig that I killed a few years ago. Shot a 450-pound hog, and I had to end up shooting him 3 times, which I double-lunged that pig 3 times.
Yeah.
They are so much tougher than you'd think. I mean, it was crazy.
I've heard they're pretty tough.
It was nuts.
The guy we're going to talk to this evening after we're finished with your episode here, he's a big pig hunter down in Mississippi.
Okay. Yep.
So
that'd be a good one.
Well, he's got some stories. I've seen some footage.
Oh, I'm sure.
I'll just tell you real quick, not get off you, but he'd sent some footage up here, which I before I really knew Kyle or anything like that, and I'm not real good at the editing part. But right. He just wanted me to throw something together for him.
Yeah.
And I get this footage, and it's a footage of a feeder. And I'm just sitting there, watching this footage, and mm-hmm. all I see is a feeder. Well, this hog comes in, and then he comes out of the top of the feeder with a shotgun.
Oh, Lord.
I was like, we're talking Mississippi down
here. Here we go.
And anyways, so I was like, I don't really know what to do with that. Like
they give me the option when I killed my pig. They said, you wanted to get the dogs out and, bait one up with the knife? And I was like, no.
I don't want to, not at all.
No way.
I've seen that. And I know, it's hunting, whatever.
Teach their own, hey.
Teach their own. But I'm like you. I'm not all about that.
Yeah, I'm not that crazy.
But, man, he was a heck of a buck. And that's the same buck that you sent me a picture of.
Yeah, I sent you a picture of it. And I was like, I think I can get him. And I tell you what's crazy is I hadn't had a daylight picture of that buck in like 6 days.
Yeah.
And it was just weird that for some reason, I'm big with being kind of in tune with like kind of your first, like what you feel. I feel like I need to hunt here. I don't know why, but I'm just feeling it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Stick with that.
Right. And that's what Dad's always told me. He's like, you have good instinct about just, mm-hmm. Like when we were in Canada and I killed my black bear, first time we hung, I was like, I ain't feeling it, Dad. I just don't feel like this is a good spot. We move, kill the bear, So it's kind of the same thing. Like I had, like everybody else, got a ton of different tree stand setups and cameras and different deer and things. And I just felt like I needed to be in that stand that evening. And, and it actually happened. And he was, I don't know about score. He was in the 120 area somewhere in there. My best buck.
He's a dandy.
Oh, yeah. I was tickled to death, man. It's my first velvet buck.
The heart was pumping and all that good stuff, wasn't it?
It's just, it never gets old, does it?
No.
Ever. I don't care if you get a deer every single season. It's just, it never gets old.
It's so much
weird, ain't it?
Not to get off on my deer, but I'm probably 20 years older than you.
I'm 30.
Well, you're 30, so I'm 15 years older. I'm mid 40s, and
young
I've been
pup.
Hunting for a long time. But like I said, I get the same feeling.
Absolutely.
And it's but now things have changed for me as you get older, I guess. I want to try to teach and give you all my knowledge or anybody I listen
it's
to.
Kind of like I was, last time I was here, we was talking about that. It's kind of like the evolution of the hunter. You start out and you just want to get something. And then you want to get bigger. And then you kind of, some people, kind of turn into, they get super picky. Like, like a lot of you guys are, I'm on the mature deer kick. Well, I'm not there yet. I'm getting there and I want to be there, but I just haven't made that transition yet. So now I got a decent buck under my belt. I got the velvet buck, that Kentucky's known for. Everybody wants a velvet buck.
Oh, yeah.
And they're hard to get.
Yeah, they're hard to get. I mean, really. About a week, maybe
two weeks, if that. Because like my buddy Glenn, he had a really cool split G2 buck, And he shed August 26th
yeah.
or 27th or something.
And you know, it seemed like they were shedding a little earlier this year.
Sometimes
to,
they did.
To me. Yeah. And, you know, it was hot. It was in the 90s that first full week.
It was hot.
And when you killed yours, which you kicked this thing off, all these bucks being killed. I don't know. There's been over, you know, 10
good ones.
Good bucks killed. Yeah. Just, you know, just people we know around
right.
here.
Right.
And, you know, and usually down west, and I'm sure they're killing some big ones, but down yeah. west, western Kentucky, that's. They're known for some big bucks down in that area.
Right.
But
and you know, maybe we're on the rise, you know. Maybe, I mean,
maybe.
It's about time.
I'd stay down west if I was you all. That's where all the ag is.
It's just hard.
Truthfully,
it's so hard hunting well, here in a way.
We know the area around here.
Right.
And we all know, you know, we're just all summer long we're scouting these areas and,
sure.
and stuff like that, and we have our minerals out.
You know, and this was the first year that I really got into trying to get a buck early.
Locating
you know, one. Yeah, because, like, you know, started hanging out with Kyle, and he was all about it. You know, Kyle's, like, yeah. geeking out on this early season stuff.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know? And then I start talking to you and Workman and everybody else, you know, and I thought, well, I'm going to try to get on this bandwagon, you know, see yeah. what this is about. And I know I've only done it once. I know I've only killed one velvet deer, and I've only killed one this early on opening night or whatever. But, man, I would rather hunt early than I would the rut. I'm serious.
I like it. I love it.
I'm serious.
You know, here in Kentucky, it's hard to beat, you know.
It is, man.
Especially, you know, I know you hunt all over the place. You just
yep.
got back from elk hunting. We'll talk about that. You was elk hunting.
Yeah, yep.
And
dodging grizzlies, hunting elk.
Dodging, well, we have to hear all about that. But, you know, I just hunt Ohio.
Yeah.
And if I don't tag my Kentucky buck early,
yeah,
then... You know,
then you start getting the pressure.
Then I start getting right? a little pressure yeah. to try to tag out in both states.
It's weird, man, being tagged out this early. It's like I almost feel like that I don't have anything to do.
But now you're free to. You are know? Are you hunting Ohio this year? Or?
Yeah, I'm going to have to. I've got to do, something,
yeah, do like, something. But now you can just concentrate on the pre-rut and rut.
Right. So what was crazy about like my story was I killed my buck last season, the very last day of bow season in Kentucky, the last 15 minutes of daylight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so me and Kyle go, we hang a stand. And we hung a stand for one hunt, right? And mm-hmm. it was a corner of a farm that I knew. It was like, there's going to be something come through. I have no idea. I was planning on going out and getting a doe. So Kyle goes, Nick, there's a buck. And I was like, holy crap. You know, and I'm looking, and that thing is right underneath my tree stand. It was a 9-point. And I shot him, and I had 15 minutes of daylight left the last day of season.
Yeah.
So then I go all summer. And then I kill one opening day the next year. I mean, it's crazy.
It's crazy. That is pretty crazy. I forgot about that.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's like, I don't know. You talk about turn of events, you know, but so, hey, I'll take it.
You know, we've been preaching for a long time about how to set up for the early season buck.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've had several of the guys on that took their buck
yep.
early season. What's your biggest key to taking your buck this year?
You got to move. You got to find them. That's the thing.
Locate.
Like, I've seen this one guy on Facebook, you know, and he's just belly aching. Just, you know, well, I can't find deer, and I don't want to move my stand, and I can't, you know.
You don't want to move your stand.
It's
you
like,
can't
okay,
find deer.
Well, don't expect nothing different. You know what I mean? Like, and that's why I told him. I was like, dude, quit whining and put in some miles and change your cameras and go find these deer.
That's the fun part.
Yeah, that is. Like, if you have four cameras out and yeah. you're not having no deer on those cameras, you need to move them.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that's what I think. I'm just like, and that's what I done, man. I mean, miles, walking, riding four-wheelers, looking,
that's
scouting.
That's the fun.
Yeah, trying
you know,
to figure them out.
The work and the fun you had with your friends.
Exactly.
And then you all celebrate. You know, I'm going to tell you right now, every season, if I want to, I can walk right out that back door.
Right.
And shoot 130, 140 inch deer. Shoot one the size of the one I killed this year.
Right.
Right out my back door with a bow, legally.
Yeah.
No right. problems.
I know what you mean.
That's and I could take pictures of it, rah rah or whatever. I could. There's no way. That's just me.
Right.
I could care less. I want to go out there and hunt.
Well, it's a testament to the killing of the animal isn't. I know people just, if you're not a hunter, you just kind of don't understand. And I get it. And it's a really confusing concept here, what we're going to get ready to throw out. But I know you'll agree.
Mm-hmm.
Killing the animal is not really the enjoyment part of it.
No.
It's figuring out the game, right?
The like, time with your buddies and figuring
yes,
it out.
It's,
you know, I'm talking that we all talked earlier this season.
Yeah.
I couldn't wait to share that for you all to see
my right.
buck. When I seen your buck, I was excited.
Yeah.
Because we all been talking about this, you know, you were
sure.
sending me pictures, and I knew what that meant to you. Yeah. That's what being a hunter is all about to me.
And I really think, like, this podcast thing that you got going on, like, I'm a huge fan, and I am so glad that you decided to do it. Like, really, man, because it's got all these people that, you know, that we may, like, I may not have known some of your buddies. You didn't know some of mine.
Yeah.
And it's like this big hunting community that was right here is really, you know, we're all learning off each other.
Yeah.
You know, and hopefully people listening to this podcast are starting to get some stuff from it, too.
That's
you
what, know, that's I hope what it, we want.
I hope they are. I hope there's kids out there or, you know, younger men or middle-aged men or seniors. I hope people are getting something from it and learning something.
And that's what it's intended to do.
Yeah, and it's awesome. You know, I mean, it's been fun because, like, you can – you follow along, you know, like I'm sending you pictures, you're sending me pictures and everybody else. And, you know, it's just, it's cool. You know?
I like it. I'm glad you're on and we have a good group of guys around here. And
we do, man.
And we're just going to keep, you know, we're going to be talking to guys this week from Mississippi and Alabama. And I hope it just continues to spread like that.
Yeah, that's cool.
So people can connect, fun. You know. But anyways, well, let's hear about the trip, the elk trip.
Here we go. Okay. So, I have always been a bow hunter, or, well, not, okay, back up, not always been a bow hunter, I've always been a hunter, ever since I was a kid, and the whitetail, that's kind of like where everybody cuts their teeth, and we're fortunate we live in an area that we've got tons of them, but I've watched all these hunting shows my whole life, and so there was just something about, like, going out west, and these different animals, and that's what really draws me, like, I'm really interested in, you know, going up to Alaska, moose, Arctic Circle, caribou, like, you just big game all over the place, you know, just, it, I've always wanted to do that. So I just thought, you know, this year, this is it. I can afford to spend a little bit of money on the hunt and, you know, worked hard all year, saved up for it and went. So put in for a Kentucky elk tag, man, no dice, mm-hmm. You know, didn't get drawn. So I was like, well, okay, so I'm going to put in for Montana. I've just always wanted to hunt out there. I don't know why. I didn't know nobody that lived in the entire state, but I've just always thought, when I think of elk, I think Montana mountains.
Yeah.
It's just what I think. Mm-hmm. So that's where I went. So I draw a tag. Me and Dusty, he takes a week off work. He took his vacation, and we take off, and I just Google Earth my butt off trying to talk to different people that lived out there and sort through all the regulations and all this stuff. And, I mean, it is an absolute nightmare if you're not from there, if it's your first time, and you don't have, like, somebody to tell you what, you know, where you can go, what you can hunt here, because every unit's different. Some are a draw, some aren't. Some you can kill a spike, some you can't kill a cow. And
yeah, it's confusing.
Just so much information out there, you know. But anyway, we get out there and we hunt at this place, and it was public land. It's millions of acres, Gallatin National Forest. So that was where we hunted at, and I get to looking up online, it was like, they have one of the highest populations of grizzlies in the entire United States.
Whoa.
And I was like, well, I've been around bears before, you know, it'll be all right.
Yeah.
You know? So there's no big exciting bear story, if that's what you're waiting on. We didn't see one, thank God.
Yeah.
But we're up there in the mountains. Day one, we pull up to game warden pulls up to us. First thing he asked, he said, what kind of pistols you guys got? You know, I told him, I said, well, Dusty, he said, he's got a 44 mag, 357, I've got a 45. He's like, okay, good. And I was like, well, I said, well, how's the bears here, you know? He said, there's a lot.
That
he said, there's a lot of grizzly, you know, and we're staying in a tent, you know, and I was like, oh, God, here we go.
No.
You know? And I can look over at Dusty and just, like, immediately just see the, you know, the worry, and and like his worry worried me, so I knew, like, I couldn't really project, you know, me being afraid, because that would make him worse, because, you know, man, we ain't never seen a grizzly bear in our life.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, you're looking at a 900-pound, faster-than-a-whitetail, absolute apex predator with 8-inch claws.
And you're in a tent wrapped up like a burrito.
I am a soft-shell taco.
You're right. I've seen that so many times, but yeah, geez, that's the truth.
That's the truth, dude. So we get into the, and you know, kind of thinking about mountains, right? You think mountains, you think big pine trees, open forests, and, you know, it's absolutely nothing like that. It's thicker than anything, anywhere I've ever hunted in my life.
Really?
Yeah. It is in, like, 20 yards where we was hunting at would have been a long shot.
Huh.
So there's some places, like, you watch these videos and these elk are, like, 5 feet away from these guys. That's why.
Right.
I mean, it makes sense now that I've been there and I've seen it.
Yeah.
You know, and you've got like a 60 degree angle on these mountains.
Jeez.
Like, when you drop down, I mean, your hike back out is miserable.
I mean, so just the two of you is not packing that whole elk out if you
not at all.
In one trip.
No.
I mean, you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about just the rear legs going way over 100 pounds.
And then you have to deal with the grizzly bears if you come back.
Yeah, then you think then you'd know how it feels to be the worm on a fishing hook. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Here you are toting a big elk leg around grizzly country, and you know that they can smell blood.
And from, you know, just watching elk, you know, shows and hunting shows, stuff like that, I mean, from what I've seen, you don't leave any meat on that elk, or that's a big time.
Sure.
I mean, you should do it anyways.
Right.
But that's a big time fine.
Oh, yeah. From what I understand. All usable meat must be taken.
Yeah. You know? It should be.
Yeah. And it should be.
And you know what? They need to do that here.
But it's a case by case basis, too.
On deer.
You know, because there's a lot of times, you know, those guys will be right in the middle of a meat out on an elk, and here comes a grizzly bouncing. You know, I mean, it's just.
That's what I'm saying.
It's so almost like a time bomb. Like, you don't know when they're coming, you know. And so anyway, we get in there the first evening, and we drive around. So the second day we go out, we hear a bugle. You know, we're hunting in this different area. Mm-hmm. So we're going up, and it's almost like, I know a lot of people have said that it's like turkey hunting, and it really is. You know, like, you can call, they'll call back, but you have to. What I learned from all my mistakes is you have got to get close to these elk. I mean, and you can't be quiet. Like, if they're bugling and you bugle back, they're challenging you, or you're challenging them. An elk isn't silent. You know, when they're slipping through the woods, they are breaking trees. I mean, these things are huge.
You know they're coming.
You know they're coming. So you don't have to be quiet. So that's kind of cool in a way. Mm-hmm. But the wind, you know, it's not like the wind it is here sitting in your tree stand. You know, you can think, okay, I got this wind today. And it's pretty solid for the most part around here.
Yeah.
You know, about all day, your wind blows about the same. Well, there you can hit your wind checker and it'll blow in your face. You're like, all right, good. So 2 minutes later, you puff it and it's blowing dead away from you.
I've seen it several times, you know, just watching hunting shows.
Yeah, and it's all with the thermals a lot of times. You know, when it's heating up, you know, it changes your wind. Mm-hmm. When it cools down in the evening, it changes your wind. So anyway, we get on a bull. And I know 100% that this is a real bull. That it's not a person, because I was afraid somebody was going to call me in, you know, big dumb Kentucky boy come tromping through the hill and coming on another hunter. But
right.
Anyway, this bull is down in the bottom of this creek, and I mean, I'm talking, he's 800 feet below us, like just straight down the mountain, screaming. I call, he's screaming. So we get in on him, and I think it was day 4 or day 3, one that we seen him. So I'm calling, he's calling, and I keep getting closer and closer and jumping. You know, I'm like, well, this tree down here, this log jam, and you're just, you know, going through the woods best you can, as fast as you can. I let out a bugle, and then the next one, when he hits, man, I mean, he was like 100 yards away, just blew the woods up, just echoing, screaming. And I was like, oh, here we go. You know, it's getting real. So I knock an arrow, and I'm waiting. And I told Dusty, I said, I've got to stand up to shoot. I have to stand up to be able to see this road, because it was down below us. And then I got halfway up, and I see antlers. And I was like, oh, gosh.
Oh,
so I sat back down, and my heart was just, I mean, just thinking about it. It's getting me tore up right now.
Absolutely.
You know, reliving the moment. But he was just screaming, and he's right there. And it got into like 70 yards, and it's so thick, I can't get a shot. So he goes on around to my right, which when I bugled to the right. Like, I didn't bugle at him and give away my position. I wanted to, you know, kind of get him walking around and guessing so I could get a shot, was my game plan. And he comes up the hill to the right, and he's standing behind this pine tree and just lets out just a big scream. And, you know, and I'm like all jacked up, and I'm ranging it, and he's at 70 yards at that tree. So I dial my sight, dial it to 70. I'm ready. I just need him to take 3 steps. I'm going to shoot this bull. And he just freezes, you know. And I didn't know what to do at the time, you know. And looking back on it, man, all I had to done probably was cow call, just one hit, him know where I was, and he probably would have turned to come in on us.
Yeah.
But then I'm waiting, and it's like 2 or 3 minutes. I don't hear a peep or nothing. And then I hear him bugle, and he's on the other side of the mountain. He went down across a creek up on the other side. He's trying to find us.
Yeah.
I bugle, he bugles back, and just, you know. And so I didn't get a shot on that bull, and we go back the next evening on him again. I mean, I'm talking all day. I'm talking from daylight, he's screaming, to midday, to evening.
Oh, geez.
We get back in on him, and I'm in a killer spot. He's close again, and the wind's in our face. He's screaming. I'm bugling. It's getting amped up again, and I'm looking like he's so close, we should see him at any minute. Mm-hmm. And I feel this big gust of wind on the back of my neck go straight at him, and it's just dead silence. Uh-huh. And I was like, gosh, man. Yeah. So then, you know, you're busted. There ain't another one screaming, and yeah. you got 700 feet climb back up to the top.
Oh, that's hunting. You know? But you know what? And the game was on out there. I mean, you got to experience
You know,
that.
And I'm proud of, you know, Dusty and myself for not knowing how to hunt these things really, other than, you know, I was podcasting a lot and just reading absolutely as much elk material as I could read. And we went out there and we got on them. Yeah. And we was on bulls every day. And it was cool.
And you learned a lot. You know, and I learned a lot.
Yeah. I mean, and I, like I told you, you know, I don't take losing well. Like, yeah. I want to go back tomorrow and kill that same bull, you know?
Right.
It's like when we were leaving, there were some guys making camp, and I told them. They rolled up, and I said, hey, guys, we're leaving. It's like, there's a bull right here is where he is. I showed him my Onyx map. Yeah. I was like, this bull is right here. And I said, he's good. He's a big one. Like, because I could see – when he come in, I could see that big long main beam, and it was all swept back, and it was just heavy and thick, and I couldn't tell how many points, but he was a giant.
Yeah, he was a big one.
So, like, the last day when we're going in there in the morning, he's screaming again. We get off side by side, and he's screaming in the bottom. I was like, all right, good, you know, because he winded us the day before, so I was worried he wouldn't be there, but he was there. So we're slipping out this road, and I seen this drain that dropped, like, 1,500 feet. This drain did. So that's what I was going to take down to the very bottom, circle around, and try to get in that bottom part that he was at, where I thought he was. We're slipping out, and then you just hear trees just pow, boom, pow.
Was he already coming?
No, it was another one.
Oh, it was a different
one. But you got to think, you're in grizzly country, so what's your first thing?
Yeah, you don't know. You know?
I mean, we jumped this thing at 20 yards.
Yeah, that's not good.
So immediately, my pistol's out, safety's off, I'm leveled, I'm ready to start busting cats.
Yeah.
And look, and prances out in the middle of this field, 30 yards, broadside, big 5x5,
ivory really?
Tip, just Jeez. Freaking monster. And I was like, you got to be kidding.
So you'd had your bow ready?
Yeah, my bow was on my backpack, my release was in my side pouch, you know what I mean? I had no prayer. And there I stand with my 1911. And I was like, oh, man, you know, that's a kick in the gut.
Yeah.
You know, and I called back and trying to get him to answer, and that bull wasn't doing nothing. But, you know, the ding-dong down there in the bottom, of course, he's screaming, so there we hump down there, and another encounter with him, and just can't, you know, what I learned was, if you're going to hunt elk early, you've got to get as close as possible.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm talking, you got to get in there, you know, less than 80 yards, because it's so thick. You know?
Oh, yeah.
And I tried the raking the trees and beating stuff, and, you know, I tried all I knew how to do, which wasn't much, and you guys will see on the video that comes out, it'll be on our YouTube channel, Empty Quiver. And, you know, I know I'm terrible at calling elk, so there's no need to elaborate in the comment section on that. I know I'm awful, okay?
Yeah. First time out there, and you had opportunity to kill.
Well, I called one
really,
in.
You called one in, and you're within 30 yards of another big old elk, so you done pretty well.
And I hooked up with a buddy up there. He lived in Missoula. He took us up the last day that we was going to be able to hunt. He called me, or I sent him a message. And was like, hey, dude, you working tomorrow? And he's like, no, you guys come up. You know, come hunt with me. He said, I'm on bulls up here. I was like, okay, cool. So we roll another 4 hours up the road, which, you know, when you drive 30, what's another four? You know what I mean? So we go 4 hours up there with him. And we hear this bull up on top of the mountain just screaming right daylight. I was like, here we go. So we go all the way up there. And, I mean, it's just a brutal, brutal hike. Like, you can't explain how bad that country is up there, how hard it is to navigate. But we get all the way up there, and it's the same thing. He's talking. We're back at him. He's less than 100 yards, and the wind switches, goes right to him. He shuts up. That's it. Silent, you know. Mm. We hunted all day. Couldn't get him to bugle. I don't know what the deal was. I think there was a lot of wolves in that area.
Really?
Had him shy. Oh, yeah. Huh. Well, we get in one creek bottom, and we're trying to get back around. We heard that bull early that morning. We find a big pile of elk bones. There's grizzly poop all over the place,
that's
tracks,
nice.
You know, and I was like, man, this is rowdy.
You know, not good. Black bears are one thing, grizzly bears.
Yeah, that's like, something I don't want to tangle with.
I don't want to deal with
them. No, you know, because like when we were going out there, there was a guy in Wyoming who got killed.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's not good.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if one jumps up, like you said, 20, 30 yards, and you shoot it, he can still kill you.
You have no time.
I mean, he might die, but after you're dead.
I mean, people don't understand, like,
if he decides to do that.
People from around here especially don't understand, like, how big and how fast these animals are.
Yeah.
I mean, and the nose on them is incredible. I mean, yeah. There is nothing out there that is going to kill a grizzly bear other than another grizzly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I killed a 400-pound black bear in Canada.
That's a big black
and
bear.
Those grizzlies would ragdoll that thing.
Yeah.
You know, it would be no contest. So, of course, you know, humans, I mean, we have no chance.
I'll just run at it.
No.
Get it over with.
But, I mean, it was out there. It was everything that I thought it would be. You know, I'm still aggravated at myself that I made mistakes because I knew being on that short of a clock, I couldn't afford to make a mistake,
right.
You know, and I did, you know, I wasn't as aggressive as I should have been because I think a lot of times, you know, and it's even like turkey hunt,
mm-hmm.
there's times that you got to be aggressive.
Oh yeah.
There's times that you got to sit still and there's a fine line in between those two that will lead you to success.
And you know, you've turkey hunted enough that you've heard those turkeys and you can tell. See?
Yep.
But that's your first time elk hunting.
Yeah, well, I didn't
Next time you go out, you're going to know, well, I need to do this.
I didn't know what he was wanting. You know, that was the kicker. I didn't know if he wanted to fight. I didn't know if he was looking for, you know, a cow.
Yeah.
So I would cow call, and sometimes when I would cow call, he would just scream and come running in. Sometimes I'd bugle, and he'd come in. But it was like I didn't know what he was looking for, and I really honestly didn't know what I was saying back to him. You know what I mean? I couldn't tell you if he was challenging me or if I was challenging him. I had no idea. I just know I'd hit the horn and he'd hit it back.
Well, you have experience. You have experience now. You're a better elk hunter now than what you was before.
Yeah.
You'll be a better one.
I'm telling you, man, it is so fun to elk hunt. I mean, it's definitely something that you've got to try to do.
Oh, I mean, I'd love to. I think I'm going to go out west with Nick Basil next year for antelope hunt. I've never even been out west.
Oh man,
Kentucky and Ohio is all I've done.
It's so magical. It will change you. It will. It gets in your blood bad.
That's what Nick was telling me. So
it does.
I'm excited. I think we're going to go out in August or something, what he's telling me.
Where are you going to go to? You know?
I can't remember. Matter of fact, I need to talk to him because he said I need to get preference points before Halloween or something somewhere.
It's all confusing. I mean, it's tough. I really think a guy could make a living if he was like set up some way to kind of help Eastern hunters figure out how to hunt out west and they come to you for information and you charge money.
Yeah, they could.
That's a business idea, actually.
It is a business idea. Because just like, well, you know,
like
I don't have a clue.
Like guys, say there's a guy that lives in Oregon, right? And he's always wanted to hunt velvet bucks in Kentucky. Well, he can come into Kentucky, buy a tag over the counter, and get a map of here's all the public land, and you just go hunt it.
Yeah.
You know, well, it ain't that way out there. You get a general elk tag. And then they got B tags, and then they've got this unit's off limits, and you can hunt here, but you can't hunt over this ridge, and it's just...
be easy to make a mistake.
Yeah, you know, and of course, like, I film every step, everything that I do, so I can't afford to mess up, because, like, that's the best form of self-incrimination ever, you know? So you got it, which, as a hunter, you should know your game laws.
Sure.
You should. And I try to the best of my abilities, but... man, I tell you what, there's some stuff to sort through. There's a lot of literature out there.
That's what I hear.
So. Hey, just taking my side-by-side out there was a nightmare.
Yeah.
You know, like trying to just find out, can I take this thing? Can I not? You know, and I'm glad I did because we ended up going like 9 miles back in the mountain on this road that was open, and it worked out good. But, you know, if there's anybody that you're wanting to go hunt Montana and, you know, you're wanting a little bit of information, I don't care a bit to tell you what road I went down, where I hunted. You know, I'll share any information anybody wants to know, and I'll help you the best I can. If you guys just want to shoot me a message, Facebook, whatever, I don't care. I'll try to help as much as I can because, you know, I really wish I'd had that help.
Yeah.
You know.
That's a good deal, man.
Like those guys, making that camp, you know.
Yeah.
That we left, you know, I told him, I was like, there's a bull down here. And I think they kind of thought that I was not telling the truth.
You know, some people are.
What, right. Well, I mean, you know, they didn't know me. And that guy said, well, do you got your map? You know, and I said, yeah, I got Onyx map right here. And then when he looked and seen like my line that I tracked myself with, and he was like, oh, so he's down here. And then he seen that I was actually there. And I was like, man, I'm telling you, I hope they killed him. He drove me crazy for 3 days. I hope they stuck him with an arrow. Hope them guys done good.
Those guys pretty experienced hunters.
Seem like it. Yeah, they seem like it. They were from up there. So,
yeah,
you know, I'm sure. You know, they were they were like, man, thanks.
Yeah.
You know, thanks for telling us. It's like, yeah, it's, you know, I mean, heck, he.
That's what a hunter's supposed to do. You weren't going to kill him.
No, no, I was out of time and I was done. Frustrated. Man, I'd got my butt kicked out there.
But you still may have got the last laugh. You might not know it, but you might.
Yeah, that's what I told Dusty. I said, man, I'd really like to know how this ends up. Yeah. You know, I kind of wish I'd have shared some Facebook info or something. I have no idea who they are, names, nothing. I mean, I hope they got him.
You had a heck of a time. Well, man, what's next? You've had a bear, your velvet bug. Yeah. Heck of an elk hunt.
I hear a grizzly bear up top. I think it's Kyle Gross.
I don't think he's coming. He texts me.
Is he not?
Might be. A while.
Is he not coming?
I think she's got Moe's.
There you go. Moe's. All right. Anyway, up next, probably going to be just like everybody else, man. Let's go to Ohio.
Heading to Ohio.
Yeah.
Hunting the pre-rut and the rut.
Yeah. I got a buddy that he's got a private farm up around Piketon, and he's going to let me come up there and hunt with him. I went a couple years ago. And, you know, it's a bit of a drive, but you never know what can happen during the rut.
Oh, yeah, especially up in that area. Right. So you're liable to bust a big one up here. I mean,
you never know. Got to try.
It's a good area.
This is weird to be tagged out. It feels like I'm waiting on bow season again.
Yeah, I know.
You know? I mean, I know I can go out and get some does. You know, I mean, I do need to do that.
You know what? We was talking about that earlier. Now, I don't know what states do this, but I know there are some states, or maybe there's not. I don't know. It seems like there's some states out there that you have to tag a doe. It seemed like New Jersey.
New Jersey, yeah.
Okay, you have to tag a doe before you can kill a buck.
Yep.
I kind of think that's a good idea.
Yeah, I mean.
Because I'm bad myself for not taking my does. Now, later in the winter, I'll usually go ahead and do it, which it's easier to process it and stuff, and I can process it myself later in the winter.
Yep.
But
early season, you got to hustle.
We,
you know?
We really need to, you know, the place that I hunt in Ohio, of course, it's got all the ag and stuff like that over there, but you know, not everywhere in Ohio does.
Right.
But I think that place stands out because there's a lot of Amish people in that area.
Right.
And they feel their tags. And the buck to doe ratio is right there.
Yep.
I mean, I see more bucks than I see does.
Well, it's just like we were talking, you know, just a little bit ago, like my family farm, right? Well, there's always been like this idea from my grandpa that, you know, the does will bring the bucks. Don't shoot does. And that's true to an extent. But when you sit all day and you don't see a buck and you see 25 does, something needs to change.
Well, and see, back in your grandpa's day, like my grandfather, there just wasn't any deer. So they didn't want to shoot. I can remember my grandpa saying, you know, let's not shoot no does because they wanted them to breed.
They were precious back then. Yeah.
With them, you know, just like,
and I get that. But now it's like, you know, since I started killing does, I started killing like 3 does a year for a little while off family farm. And now we're seeing more about the same. Mm-hmm. Like, because like 5 years ago, you'd hear a deer walking behind you, right? And you just knew it was a doe. Mm-hmm. I just knew it was. Wouldn't even get the bow off the hanger. I knew it was a doe. And there'd be like 6 of them. Mm-hmm. And here they come, you know, in the corn pile, nom, 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 and eat and leave. And then here come some more does. And now it's getting to where, you know, it might be a smaller buck.
You're getting it balanced out a little bit. It has to be balanced.
And I'm not saying go out there and shoot does like crazy, but, you know, some areas, you know, like where you're talking about, your buck to doe ratio is right there on the money, probably. That's right where you want it.
Yeah.
So you might not want to tinker with it too much. Maybe take a doe, take a buck. You know, it's no big deal. Not saying you got to go out there and obliterate them, but I mean, me personally, I've seen a big difference in my family farm by doing doe management.
Oh, definitely. You have to. I mean,
because you can watch those big does, man. They'll run little bucks away. You know, when they've got a fawn and there's like a little forker, you know, he comes up and he wants to eat too. Well, she'll just stand up, back legs, and just beat the crap out of him, run him over the hill.
Yeah.
And he's not going to take it very long till he's just like, you know what? I'm going to find me some new property to hang out in. And you never know what that deer could have been in 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, I've got one right now that I've named her. She's Buster. That's her name.
She's busting them all the time.
You daggone right. And she's gonna get killed soon.
They took that hoof and they smack them in the forehead, man.
She's
they
so
whack
smart.
Them good, don't they?
Like the day before I left to go to Montana, I had one afternoon I could hunt. So it was actually the day before I left. So I climb up in the tree. Wind's perfect. Over the corn pile. Yeah, I hunt over corn. So there you go. I'm a corn hunter.
Everybody is. Don't let anybody fool me.
So he what was it? She come in at like 80 yards, and I had moved the tree stand already from a different tree. And she's just, I mean, just laser-eyed on the tree that I was in before. Like, she's looking. She knew something was up there. And I'd never been busted out of that tree. It's like, man, she's smart. all around and just never gives me a shot. She never come into the corn, but I mean, you can just tell she's that big old doe that's got a fawn, and she's going to be tough to get. Yeah. And I'm going to be pumped when I get her. Well, yeah. And I'm going to. Yeah, I'm going to smoke her.
Set your sights on that. So, good luck getting her, man.
I'm going to treat it like a buck hunt. There's going to be a film about Buster. Buster the doe.
Hey, them old does, man.
They're tough. Yes, sir.
I mean, there's, you know, I've had big bucks come in, you know, and then a doe come in, and she'd just be so alert.
Yep.
Checking everything out.
Because bucks, it seems like, you know, their only thing is survival for them.
They
right.
Slow. Yeah.
They've got right. the survival instinct for themselves, but not only for themselves, for their fawns. Yeah. You know, so they've got to keep them safe. So they're just like, they're just on edge. You know, and anytime you do hunt over a corn pile, you know, or right. bait or minerals or whatever it is, they just have a sense that that's not real. It's supposed to be there, but it's so good they can't resist it, but they know something's up.
Listen, that corn pile, it can be a good deal, it can be a curse. I mean, it about cursed me this year.
I would like to get to where I had, like, to where I could hunt my travel routes coming to that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Catch them not so on edge. But
get way ahead of it. You know, that's what I had to do this year. That bug of mine, I messed around with the wind, and after preaching to everybody, I'm my brother, and I went in there anyway.
Oh, so no.
So he got me. Yeah. But, you know, I had to do what you're talking about. I had to get...
in between.
Yeah, probably about 120 yards, which it was so late. He was pretty much on the acorns. But anyway, that's what I had to do. But, you know, you shot some bears and stuff. I was going to talk something else real quick.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure I seen we have a week bear hunt
this year. Yeah, quota hunt.
And quota hunt.
Yep.
Is it a quota?
Yeah.
December.
That's what it was. It was last year, too.
Okay, I didn't know it was
last year. Yeah, yep. I'm speaking without any information other than just memory here, but I think it was like 8 or something was in our counties. Like there was a bunch of counties clustered into that or whatever, and they checked it out, and it was, I don't know how many was killed if there were any, but I know it's a quota hunt, it's a muzzleloader. You know, bear hunting's fun. You know, it's cool.
Oh, they're coming on here.
Right. You know, so you got to keep them in check because there's nothing bigger than a black bear in Kentucky. You know?
I guarantee it. I've seen a few here in the last few years. Well, Nick, man, we'll wrap this thing up. I got Mr. Mississippi coming on.
There you go.
And anyways, thanks for coming back over, and we'll see you again here.
Real quick before we go, I really appreciate all the support, all the messages, everybody following our videos on Empty Quiver, and... You know, just thanks for watching, guys. Thanks for following with us. You know, we're kind of chasing a dream here in the tri-state and trying to put down some good footage for everybody to watch, and hopefully, you know, we get some kids interested in it and things like that. So, you know, big shout out to everybody that's following what we're doing. We really appreciate it.
All right. Nick McWhorter, Rob Michon, Hunting Out Loud. Y'all keep it real. See you later.